Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Good Friday morning, Northern Colorado. I'll tell you one thing. We got to stop having Thursday night games. Because I come in on Fridays and my voice is a little shaky already, man. I don't know what's going on. So yelling with excitement. That's a leading story for me today. Severance 34-13 over the number 10 ranked University Bulldogs last night. It was a really fun game, and I'll talk more. I'm sure I'll get into that more later on Feel Good Friday here on NoCo Now. I am Tanner Schwint. Pleased to be joined at this time, as I always am, by a good friend, Jerry Schimmel. He's the host of Amazing Americans. He is the voice of the UNC Bears. He's a great person on top of all that. So Jerry Schimmel joining me. Jerry, how are you today?
I'm good, Tanner. Congratulations. Still undefeated, right?
5-0, baby. 5-0
yeah.
Is good. This is one piece of coaches speak, and coaches speak used to drive me crazy when you're interviewing people, right? And I'm sure, Jerry, you've seen this a lot. I mean, it's the week by week and this and that and this and that. But the one piece of coaches speak that I actually really like, you know, you can only be the top 50% in the state on any given night. Go be that top 50% because half the teams are going to win, half the teams are going to lose.
There you go. Somebody's got to win, right? Yeah. Why can't it be your team?
Why not? Yeah. Open up conference play with a bang there. But, Jerry, is there a coach in your mind that stands out that had the coaches speak down to a T?
Oh, man. There's been so many of them. We had with the Nuggets for a brief time a couple of years, a guy named Dick Motta. I don't remember Dick Motta at all. I think he's passed away now, but he's a longtime coach of the Mavericks, and he came late in his career at the Nuggets, and he said that stuff all the time. Any kind of classic coach,
cliche,
he had it, and he used it all too. And what was funny about Dick was that he would talk that way in the media, and then when you go get a beer with him, you're like, "What? I'm just so boring. I say the same thing all the time. I say the same thing everybody else does." So he knew he was doing it, Tanner, but he couldn't help himself.
No, that's what they all are. Would you rather interview somebody like that and you know what you're going to get with them, or would you rather have a guy like, you know, Greg Popovich who might just pop off at any point?
Yeah, I think I like the guy that just gives you the honest answer rather than the coaches speak. And I always said that about Charles Barkley. He says all the things the rest of us can't say or we want to say but we can't, and he gets away with it. So there are some coaches like Popovich who gets away with that stuff, and I like that. Hey, why not be honest?
Yeah, I enjoy that as well. I enjoy that as well. Jerry Schimmel joining the program. Jerry, how about those UNC Bears back-to-back overtime games? What I like, and maybe my biggest takeaway, and I want to know your thoughts on it, they lose that first overtime game, and then they come back, learn from what they needed to do, and they found a way to be victorious the second time around.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Tanner. It looked like a different team in overtime, and they seemed confident. They marched right down the field and scored, and then the defense took over after that. So, first of all, to have back-to-back games in overtime is so rare. Ed was telling us the other night he's never experienced that. None of his players had ever experienced anything like that before. So that was unusual. It was like Groundhog Day, but they got it done. And I told Ed that if there's an overtime game tomorrow, then we need to be an episode on Twilight Zone or something. Three in a row just doesn't happen.
That's a broadcaster's dream right there, man. coming down to the wire, you get the game-winning call a couple times. Walk us through that overtime period with UNC.
Yeah, I didn't get the coin toss. So the coin toss went to Northern Arizona. And this is what coaches usually do. They pick to go on defense first because they want to see what that offense does. And then you respond accordingly. If you stop them, obviously, you just kick a field goal and you win it. But you want to go on defense first. And so that's what Northern Arizona did. And the Bears took advantage of that. Marched right down the field, got lucky on a pass, was deflected, and ended up in the end zone. But, hey, they scored. And they had the touchdown, got the extra point. And then the defense, Tanner, that had been playing so well all day, just making big play after big play against a good offensive team for Northern Arizona, came through again. I mean, they stopped them on fourth down. A backup linebacker, Elijah Anderson Taylor, gets a tackle for a loss to finish the game. And that's a rare kind of finish to a game. Overtime and a defensive stop on fourth and one, and you rush off the field. So it was really, really a lot of fun. Everybody enjoyed it, and it was a little bit of deja vu in overtime, but it turned out differently.
Well, a little bit of a walk-off feel. It was awesome. You guys had a great call on that as well. And Jerry, that young man you just mentioned, I understand you've got some personal connections. How special was that for you?
Yeah, it was really cool. And the other thing was, I found this out later, Ed McCaffrey coached him in Little League football.
Is that
right? Warner. So, so had known him for probably 10 or 15 years. And then the young man played at Evecrest, and my son-in-law was a coach, football coach then, when they were really good when he was playing a few years ago. And so had a really special relationship with him as well. So it was really fun, not only to get the win, but have it happen the way it did with that young man who everybody loves.
So UNC starting to pop up on some radars here in the Big Sky. What do you attribute that to? Is it the defense that's going to carry this team this year?
I think it is, Tanner. That's what's happened so far. Other than one game against Colorado, they played really well defensively, and they got playmakers that way. I mean, you've got two different players now that have been Big Sky Defensive Player of the Week. And you're talking about, a bunch of ranked teams, and you got players that are getting voted over them, and you're a team that's trying to emerge from a dark past the last several years. So, they're starting to do that, and I think it's happening defensively. I think there's potentially, Tanner, the offense can be really good, really solid. They just have not clicked yet. So I'm waiting for them to do that. Maybe that'll happen tomorrow. Let's hope that is the case. But, it's the defense that's carried the team so far.
Well, and as long as you've got an identity, you can build a winning program. Sitting at 2-2, is this? Montana State tomorrow. That's going to be one hell of a battle.
Yeah, it is going to be a tough one. Everybody knows that you're playing on the road, but you're playing against a very good team. They have such a reputation for being good and physical, and got a great offensive team. They got weapons. Quarterback and running back are two of the best in the conference. So the defense will be put to the test tomorrow. And I think they'll hold up. I don't know if they'll, keep them to 10 points in regulation like they did the previous 2 weeks. But I think the defense will rise. I think you got to score some points tomorrow. Getting that 20-plus points up to 30 to have any kind of chance, I think, against this team.
Talking with Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears, host of Amazing Americans. And Jerry, the offense is normally this time of the year, that's when they start to come around a little bit. They've had a couple of weeks to get that game plan perfected. They've got a couple of weeks to play with these guys. This is about the time that these things normally start to pop off.
Yeah, and that's what we're hoping with this team right now. And think about some other things too, Tanner. And this kind of hit me this week. You got a first-time offensive coordinator in Max McCaffrey. He'd never really coached before, let alone be an offensive coordinator. He's learning on the job, and I think he's getting better. You got Dylan McCaffrey, his brother, who's the quarterback, who missed a game and a half, so he's trying to come back off of an injury. You got a lot of drop football. So I think once they start cleaning a few things up, like Ed said, and being more consistent offensively and not leaving plays and points on the field, I think you'll have that kind of offense that we hope we have.
Yeah, it's really looking forward to it and continue to see this team develop. What have you thought about Dylan so far?
I think he hasn't hit his stride yet, and that's understandable. The guy really hasn't played consistently since high school. I mean, never played much at Michigan, and then he plays one game against CU. He gets beat up, gets the injury. Now he's trying to come back. What you can see, Tanner, is the flashes. You can see flashes of a high school All-American and a four-star recruit and all that. But he just has to be more consistent, and he hasn't gotten there yet, but I think he will. And we just got to keep in mind, there's a lot of talent, but there's a lot of rust there as well. And once he shakes that rust off, I think he's really going to be good.
Yeah, it has to happen, like you said. But without it already, like I said, the Bears, people are taking note right now. And, you can feel that vibe, Jerry.
Yeah, I think so, too. I felt it last week in the win against Northern Arizona. There was a big crowd and very disappointing loss the week before. And there's competition for that ticket dollar. Not everybody wants to go see UNC play when they can see other teams play. But there was a great crowd there. And you could sense the excitement and the enthusiasm and the energy. The tailgating was a lot of fun, and they had a lot of stuff going on. So I think that's just the start. I think you build from that, and you go forward. Helping out the situation would be some wins, which I think the Bears are going to get.
Yeah, it's exciting times around UNC right now. And got a texter here, too, Jerry, with a question. We've seen a couple of CSU transfers, and they've received offers from Coach McCaffrey over there. What does that say about the state of football right now in Colorado, that people are wanting to leave out of CSU and are strongly looking at UNC?
I think it means they're finally, after a few years, down on the map again. They're relevant. They're being talked about again. And it certainly helps, Tanner, no getting around it, that Ed McCaffrey is the coach. That name is going to draw. That's the first family of football today in America. It really is. I mean, with those four boys and Ed's past. So you got the name recognition. So you got people thinking, I mean, if I wasn't playing somewhere and I wanted to go play, I want to play for Ed McCaffrey. Why not?
Yeah.
So in Colorado and Greeley and a great town and all that. So, yeah, I think it helps to have that name as the head coach. But I think it as well, the way they're playing is opening some eyes. And you want to transfer and you want to play, but you want to play for a winner. And I think that's what people are looking at this program as, hey, you know what, they've been down, but they are emerging. I want to go be part of that.
Yeah, I mean, we see Tanner Hollins as he starts to head to UNC, and now saw that Marcus McElroy, right, received an offer from UNC. I don't think that one's in stone, but you get a couple guys like that who play in that Mountain West Conference that come down to this. That could be a big-time offense.
There is no question about that. And I think that's really one of the keys to turning a program around now that you got that transfer portal and you don't have to sit out, is you get these kind of guys that make an impact. I mean, look at Montana State. They have a fantastic quarterback who's a transfer from North Carolina State, who was a starter at North Carolina State, and then for a while, and then wasn't playing, and now he's looking for a place to play and shine, and he's at Montana State making a huge difference. Those kind of guys, like Tanner Hollins, I think will make that has a chance to make that difference. So, yeah, it's not like basketball where you have one or two guys that can carry your team for a whole season. If you get four or five or six of those kind of players on a football team, you've really got something.
Are you surprised at how quickly Ed McCaffrey has picked up the use of the transfer portal?
No, I think, you know what, I think that helped him sitting out last year in COVID. I think that helped him get his feet wet and all that, in recruiting and the transfer portal and how you go about that. And he had a really challenging situation trying to recruit, especially guys to transfer portal, because they couldn't travel, they couldn't visit. So he was signing guys that had never even saw the campus and seen the campus. So I think that's, in a way, a blessing for Ed personally, was that he got that year away to learn all this stuff and become a better recruiter.
Yeah, it's no doubt working out right now. We're talking with Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears. Jerry, what's your official prediction for tomorrow?
I think the Bears pull an upset. I think they win it 28-25.
Okay, all right. There was no hesitation there.
I've been thinking about that all week. If there's a team, Tanner, I really believe this, poised for an upset in the conference this week, it is the Bears. I think, like we talked about, great defense and an offense that hasn't clicked yet. You put those two together and the offense does click, you got the chance for an upset. I really believe that.
Well, that'd be a not terrible result for Bears fans, Jerry. Amazing Americans coming up this week. George Karl. Just the George Karl coming on the program. How much fun was this?
Oh, it was great. You know, George and I know each other a long time, worked together with the Nuggets, and I couldn't wait to talk to him. And he's got such a powerful story. I mean, not just his coaching background and being number six all time and wins in the NBA, but a three-time cancer survivor. And he's not afraid to talk about it. He went through the second time around when he had the throat cancer that almost took his life, and how he couldn't talk for 6 months and lost all this weight. I mean, it's a crazy but moving story from George Karl. You know, we were talking about coaches. I thought about George. George said one thing to the media that I always remember. He said, because a lot of coaches, as we know, don't like doing the media stuff, like Popovich and some others, but they do it because they have to. George says, hey, dealing with the media is easy. All you do is answer the same dumb questions over and over.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. But that's who George is. And he actually enjoys doing the media stuff. He always has. And he's quite a man, and he's got quite a story, and we'll share it this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to hearing that, to hearing Amazing Americans. Of course, there's all sorts of places you can find it. We'll talk with Jerry a little bit more about that. But also, Jerry, I mean, you mentioned it. He's six all-time in wins, and had to battle through this cancer. I mean, there's not many people that can have that perspective.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, it's really interesting, and he'll get into it, obviously, in his talk, but he said, you know, I was this coach, and I had all this success, and I was all about coaching and all about winning and all about basketball, which is fine. He said, I realized I was a great coach. Cancer made me a great person.
That's awesome.
I thought that was just a great coach. Yeah, I was already a great coach, but cancer made me a great person. And what he meant by that was that he started loving people more, and he started realizing life is short and spending more time with his family and enjoying and appreciating friends and enjoying friends that he never really had because basketball was always first for him. So he's become a more caring, more loving person, according to him, and that's all all because of cancer. So, and that's what you hope when you go through a tragedy or go through an illness like this, that it makes you a better person. And I think that's what's happened with George.
Yeah, that there's no doubt about it. That was actually kind of when I fell in love with the Nuggets is when after the Carmelo Anthony trade, right? They had a bunch of for lack of a better term, a bunch of no names on the team or moderately no-named players. And the way that George handled that and still turned that team into playoff basketball, and they weren't your stereotypical NBA team that there's one superstar, and he gets it and shoots. That's more boring basketball. What he did with that team and Ty Lawson and those guys and Danilo Gallinari, it was so much fun.
I agree with you. And I think that's the magic of George Karl as a coach. He can take about any roster and mold it and make it a winner. You know, he had some really good teams with Carmelo, no question about that. But he had a year where he had Carmelo Anthony, Allen Iverson, Kenyon Martin, and J.R. Smith. You try to coach one of those guys, let alone all four of them. I don't know how you're more of a babysitter than you are anything, a psychologist, I don't know, than a coach. And he got that team to win, to play together. I thought that was his greatest accomplishment was he had all this talent that nobody thought he could mold, and he did, and they won. And then that talent went away, and they still won, like you said, after Melo was gone. So that's the magic of George. He can take a roster and get the most out of it any time. He always told me, Tanner, he said, you know, my number one job is to try to get the guys to buy into my system and play hard every night. It was not, hey, get the best players or execute the best plays or get the greatest game plan. It is, hey, get guys to buy in and get them to play hard. And when you do that, you win.
Yeah, and he did a lot of that. He did a lot of that, yep. Jerry. Well, we'll be looking forward to Amazing Americans. Obviously, you can hear that here on KFKA over the weekend. Where else can we listen to this Amazing American show?
Yep, we got the website, which is amazingamericans.org, and all of our radio stations are listed there. We're in Denver. We're all across the state of Colorado, including, like you said, on this station. So, yeah, amazingamericans.org.
All right. Jerry, I really appreciate your time every Friday morning, my friend, and appreciate you jumping on all the action. The Blue and Gold game day pregame show starting at noon tomorrow. You'll be ready to roll. I appreciate you jumping on, man.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that game tomorrow. It's not going to be terrible. I know that.
It's not going to be terrible at all. 28-25. Take it. I'm running to my FanDuel account right now, Jerry.
All right. All right, Tanner.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Okay.
That's Jerry Schimmel right there, the voice of the UNC Bears. He is one heck of a person. I really enjoy talking with Jerry every single Friday. 9:23 the time. Let's get a break. It's Feel Good Friday. Hey, give me your thoughts. What are you looking forward to over the weekend? Hit me on the text line, 888-530-0043. That's the Tatanka Grill text line. We'll be right back. It's Noco Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.